individual players is not worth protecting at the expense of their people who die in the streets, savages, dogs, hunted down, maimed by the disregard from the justice system for them.
Michael Eric Dyson, we have to break here, but we're going to continue a web exclusive at democracynow.org. Michael Eric Dyson, author of What Truth Sounds Like. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Tune in to KBOO on Tuesday, June 12th from noon to 8 p.m. for the 20th Annual Homelessness Marathon. Programming includes reports about the fight against poverty for women, youth homelessness, indigenous homelessness, solutions that are working in Finland, and much more. Please call in to talk about your own experiences at 866-LEFT-OUT or 866-533-8688. That's the Homelessness Marathon, Tuesday, June 12th from noon to 8 p.m. here at your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Iranform, U.S. Withdrawal from Nuclear Agreement and Path to War, on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church in Portland. The Iranform will feature Jamal Abdi, Executive Director of the National Iran American Council, journalist Reese Ehrlich, and local speakers in a discussion about withdrawing from the Iran nuclear deal. The sponsoring groups are involved in prevention of war and in supporting diplomacy and friendship with the people of Iran. Again, that's the Iran Forum U.S. Withdrawal from the Nuclear Agreement and Path to War on Friday, June 29th at 6:30 at the First Unitarian Church, 1211 Southwest Main Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Portland.
Good morning. You are continuing to listen to KBOO FM, your community radio station, 90.7 in Portland, and in elsewhere. You can just tune in as you are right now, and participate. Again, that's 90.7 in Portland, 91.9 in Hood River, 104.3 in Corvallis, Albany, and via the worldwide web. It is kboo.fm, More Talk Radio. My name is Cecil Prescott. I'll be joined shortly by Celeste, depending on traffic, so we'll just keep our fingers crossed about that. But in the meantime, you don't have to listen to my voice. We have the opportunity to talk with two people here from the Community Energy Project, Camille and Rock. And thank you for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Great. Now, if most people may or may not know, what is a community energy project? Camille, could you tell us about the project, its origin, and its mission?
Yeah, definitely. So Community Energy Project has been around for since 1979. We provide services to the community. We believe that everyone deserves a safe, healthy, and efficient home, regardless of income. We provide a variety of services, from workshops that are lead poison prevention workshops. We also provide workshops for in-home do-it-yourself weatherization. We also provide workshops regarding insulating flat attics as well. On top of that, we also go out into the community and do in-home repairs from a variety of services, which is actually Rock's specialty.
Oh.
Yes.
Yes.
Once again, my name is Rock, and I'm the in-homes manager for Community Energy Project. And my job is to go in after a client calls in, an intake is done, where we get some information from you to see if you qualify. And I pretty much typically go in the home and, you know, walk throughout your house and look at simple things, you know, if your faucet is leaking, if you know your elder with some physical issues, do you have a grab bar in your shower, do you have a handrail outside your front door or your back door. We provide minor repairs on roofs, you know, for jobs that are bigger than our techs can pretty much perform. We have contractors on payroll that pretty much go out and do a bigger job. But the biggest issue we have here is getting the people that qualify in the community to reach out, you know, to contact us, to at least start an intake to see what we could do for you. So our goal here this morning is to reach out to the community and just ask you, hey, give us a call. You have a family member that's in need, you have someone that's disabled, or someone that just simply, you know, needs some handyman work. Give us a call and we'll be more than happy to help you.
Well, that sounds exciting. So it seems as if the Community Energy Project is for people of all economic levels because it seems as if listening to you, Rock, as if some people might not know what to do or who to call or what to do and may be intimidated by maybe possible calls. So it's available for people, working class people, people who are just struggling to try to figure out how to make things work.
That's correct. There are some income qualifications, but our programs and our services are typically geared towards people who actually really do need them, want to stay in their homes, maybe can't afford those repairs, and we're here as a resource for the community to be able to provide those for them. Our workshops, on the other hand, a lot of those aren't income qualified. A lot of people in the community can just come in, learn new skill set, and help repair and keep their home safe and toasty for themselves year-round.
Okay, and something you should repeat over and over is how people may contact you. What's the number or website?
Well, they can contact us by website, or they can call 503-284-6827, and that'll get the process started.
Excellent. Again, that number is, I just found my pen.
503-284-6827.
Excellent. And that's for people who say, oh, okay, my house is, you know, I've been living here for, you know, 20, 25 years, and it looks like it might need some repairs or some help. I'm older now, and I have certain challenges.
Correct. I come upon a number of instances where there's an elderly person. Most of their family members have died off, so they have no one else to help them. And so that's where I try to build rapport and develop kind of a bond. So, hey, you know, we can do these services for you, or you just need something as simple as your gate fix, some yard work. We try to provide services from, you know, every level, but unfortunately, you know, we do have a budget we must abide by. So, you know, we just do our best.
Yeah. Now, it sounds, at least from the title, it's when I hear the name Community Energy Project, it's about what first came to my mind is how to, in terms of weatherization or to make sure that it's energy efficient.
Correct.
It sounds as if you do a little bit more than that.
Yes. I'll let Camille handle that question.
So we not only try and make sure your home is energy efficient and weatherize it, but we also try and allow people to stay in their homes and age in place. We definitely don't want to see anyone in the community leave their home because they could have used a simple grab bar or they could have used better stairs to access their home. We definitely don't want to see members of the community leaving that for those reasons. And that's where we can come in and do those minor repairs and help them be able to age in place and enjoy their home until their very, very twilight years.
Wow. That's excellent. And again, you also said you have workshops. What type of workshops are available?
We do have workshops. You can actually find us out in the community in a variety of events. A lot of times people typically will encounter us at the Fix-It fairs that are around Portland. Those workshops vary from lead poisoning prevention, a lot of times geared more towards people who might potentially be doing any type of project and preventing lead poisoning, especially since a lot of the older homes in Portland typically tend to have lead in them.
Right.
And so we just want to make sure that not only the people doing potential projects, but also mothers who have kids are aware that there are a lot of lead hazards and just making sure that their children are also safe, especially pregnant mothers on top of that as well. We also do flat attic insulations, which I only know a little bit about, but that is a pretty well appreciated workshop as well. And on top of that, we also have do-it-yourself weatherization. So you can actually learn how to weatherize your home to make it warm in the winter and nice and cooler in the summer.
You make it approachable for people to begin to work on project. I can see as if people might be overwhelmed by saying, I have no idea what to do or how to do it. And there are some how-to activities in which you train people to approach repairs.
Mm-hmm. Not only do we give that workshop, but we also provide the tools they need that they receive through the workshop as well, and then can take them home and do a lot of the projects on their own.
Amazing.
Yes, and we also hold something called volunteer services days, where a number of people that are employed in the community, we basically would come out on a Saturday and provide window kits. You know, basically, if you have an old house and, you know, we can't afford to replace your windows, we would install a window kit on your window, which would prevent drafts. Mm-hmm. And I have two techs, like I said, on staff. They do door kits. If you look at your door and you see a light coming, you know, from around your door, that's a draft. So we can put up what you call door kits to prevent that draft.
Wow, it's amazing. We're speaking with Rock and Camille from Community Energy Project. You're based in Portland, correct?
We are. We're based in Portland.
A project that helped people to empower people to do several things. One, to maintain your home, to stay in your homes, and also looking at how to make your home a better, safer place for all people, and reaching out to people who might have concerns about their homes. You know, here in this area, it seems as if we're in the midst of a lot of construction, home construction. Houses are being built up every block. But as you suggested, there are a lot of older homes, probably built before, built before many of the safety measures that we now take for granted in terms of energy efficient. And as you suggest, there are things that people might need to do to their homes. And also you talked about volunteers' opportunities. So it sounds as if people who are skilled may also participate in your program. And do they contact you in the same way if they have some skills that they and some time to work with?
That's correct. If they wanted to learn more about our opportunities to volunteer with us, they could definitely go to our website. If they wanted to contact us directly, they could definitely contact me directly at my email, which is my first name, cameo@communityenergyproject.com.
Excellent.
Actually, I'm sorry, that's .org.
.org. That's right. It might go somewhere else.
It might go somewhere else. Let's not do that.
Right. So I'm going to ask you to Stay with us as we remind those who are listening to, if you have questions, to give us a call. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. And give us a call and let us, if you have a question for Camille or Rock about Community Energy Project, give us a call right now. And I think we have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Good morning,
hey,
Tim.
Good morning. Thank you very much for the show. I just got one quick question. I'll take the answer off the air. I'll hang up. I live in Salem, and I know you're based in Portland, but I was wondering if you ever go out this far, or if not, do you know of any people down here doing similar type work?
What's your name again, sir?
Tim.
Tim, at this time, we only service the Portland area, and at this time, I can't definitively even see who you would call to get some assistance, because just like I said, we service the southeast, northeast, northwest area. So unfortunately, at this moment, I don't have any more information for you.
Well, that's a shame. It's great work, man. I hope you keep doing it. I hope you expand, and you guys take care.
Yes, well, with more grants and donations, we wish we could provide services in those other areas.
Thank you, Tim. Pardon?
I'm receiving Medicaid, OHP, from the state. They're telling me when I die, they're going to seize all my assets to reimburse themselves for what I cost them. What would happen if I was to donate my house to you guys? Do you think, would you be able to get priority over the state?
This might be...
Maybe sell it off or something.
Right. This might be beyond their scope in terms of responding to your question. I suggest that you might give their office a call and have a deeper conversation with them about that.
All right.
And that number again?
The number that you can reach us are 503-284-6827.
Okay. Thank you, Tim. As he said, well, a couple of things came to my mind when he was talking about you, and in terms of where people might go if they're beyond your area. Certainly, I would think in terms of improving your home in terms of energy efficiency, might you also, contact your local utility about doing an energy survey or something like that?
A lot of times, if you contact your local utilities, you can actually find a variety of services that they're willing to provide to you. So that would probably be my first guess where to start.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times that way they can provide you with information that you're looking for.
Excellent. And again, we're speaking with Camille and Rock from Community Energy Project. Do you have a question about your home, how to make it more energy efficient, or how to make sure that you are able to stay in your home as you age, how to make your home safer? Give us a call here at 503-231-8187 and share your questions or comments with our guest this morning. Let's go to our next caller. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. I want to ask your guests, are they familiar with PDC?
Portland Development Corporation?
No, Portland Development Commission.
Commission, yes. Okay, which...
Well, my question is that PDC has programs in the urban renewal boundary. People can get roofs, they can get insulation, they can get windows, they can get all of that stuff. It's based on income, but they don't even have to pay that back. They come with forgiveness. So I don't know if they know about it, but the Portland Development Commission which really is the people that controls the development of neighborhoods. They're the ones. And so I don't know if people are familiar with Portland Development Commission, but they can go and get their house renovated and make it more energy efficient, and they ain't even got to pay it back. It comes with forgiveness.
Okay, well, thank you for the information. I'm not sure whether they can respond to that, but thank you for your call, Mike. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here on KBOO.FM. I am Cecil Prescott, and I hope you stay tuned to our conversation with Camille and Rock of Community Energy Project. Coming up at 9 on the OMO Variety Hour is the author From Asylum to Prison, Deinstitutionalization and Rise of Mass Incarceration After 1945, and a discussion about the 1996 film The Watermelon Woman. At 10 is Locus Focus with Barbara Bernstein. She talks to two leaders with a campaign to put the Portland Clean Energy Fund on the city ballot. 11 is Health Watch. 11:30, Making Contact looks at the cost of deportation and the tens of thousands of Guatemalans sent back from their country to their country each year. All of this and more on your community radio station, KBOO.FM. But we are continuing our conversation with Camille and Rock from the Community Energy Project. And a couple of things that maybe you could share in terms of stories about what it is or services or how you've helped people or individuals. You mentioned people in older homes and looking at what might need to be done. Is it possible for you to share a story of someone who came to you and how you help transform their home?
Well, once again, I say, you know, we have a tight budget, so, you know, we don't have the funds to totally go over, you know, go in and make a remodel of their homes. But what we will do is, you know, if you have a rotten porch or something like that in your house, we could, you know, rebuild your steps and, you know, repair the rotten wood on your porch. We can sometimes, you know, if you have a front door that is causing you issues, we'll fix your front door, we'll replace your front door. So, you know, we're one of the smallest nonprofits in the Portland area, so we're limited in what we can do, but we also have partners that we can forward your information to. Yes. So,
yes, uh-huh. Well, that's great. Certainly, you might seem to you that you're limited, but certainly you help lots of people in many different ways in reaching out. And I did see that somewhere on your website that something like 76% of your clients are women.
A lot of women attend the workshops mm-hmm. to learn different skills in an environment that is completely judgment-free. Yeah. A lot of times, in particular, women don't feel that they can approach a lot of the material, and we make sure that they can. Additionally, a lot of times, as I previously mentioned, lead poisoning happens and can impact your children. And so it's also really important that they attend those workshops as well. And yeah, we definitely have a wide reach and a very diverse body that we end up touching. And I think that's kind of one of the things that makes us unique. We might be small, but we actually do quite a lot and impact quite a variety of communities within the Portland area.
Excellent. Let's go to our next caller. Camilo, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. This is Camilo. And you mentioned the Portland Clean Energy Fund a few moments ago. And I thought rather than having to wait to hear what that's all about, I would speak about it right now since it's really appropriate to the discussion today. Your guests mentioned that they have limitations because of their budget. and the Portland Clean Energy Fund is the answer to that problem. It will provide a minimum of $30 million through a 1% surcharge on the Portland business fee, and it will support the kinds of projects that this organization that's speaking to us today offers to the Portland community. And right now we're having a petition drive to get this on the ballot. There are probably over 100 people who have been acting really valiantly to get petition signed. We've got just 3 more weeks, so we've got to get probably about another 10,000 signatures at least. So if you see someone out there with their petition sheets and you're hearing about Portland Clean Energy Initiative, please sign it so we can get on the ballot and get this measure passed in November.
Thanks a lot, Camilo. And I suggest that people stay tuned to at 10 o'clock. Barbara Bernstein will talk more in depth with some of the leaders of this campaign. Thanks, Camilo.
Okay.
Let's go back to the work that you do. In terms of the workshops that you lead. So, for example, you talked a little bit about weatherization projects and how people might either gain some skills and also qualify for materials. Again, can people sign up for workshops, say, for about free weatherization materials?
They can sign up actually when we're out in the community. A lot of times we have boothing events that will be out and about and you can see us at, and they can sign up there. They can also contact us again via email or our website or even call, and we can put them into the workshop sign up and go mm-hmm. from there.
Excellent. And what are some of the common, we mentioned some of the questions you mentioned about lead in older homes, and also in terms of preventing drafts in your homes. Are there any general things that you hear repeatedly in terms of issues that you need to address when you go to people's homes, or are they as varied as there are homes that people have?
Well, since we provide services to a lot of people with disabilities, we are often asked, for handrails, grab bars in the shower, door kits, window kits. Those primarily are the things that seniors ask for. Hmm. We do other things, smoke alarm, carbon monoxide alarms, just like I said, yard work. If there's a bigger job, as far as a wheelchair ramp needed to be built, we'll get a contractor, get an estimate, and go forward with that. And, so like I said, we're funded by Portland Housing Bureau, and we just try to provide, services to the community.
Wow, this is really exciting work and meaningful work in terms of allowing, working with people so that they may stay in their homes, which is a concern of many people as we age. So I think you probably can't do it, but I certainly can do it. I can celebrate you and the work that you do. And you may think that you are a small project, but in terms of the people you help, I'm sure that there are many, many people who can testify to how grateful they are for the work that you do. So,
being the in-homes manager, I personally go into a minimum 200 homes a year, and sometimes we serve those clients twice or even three times. So, if anybody is listening and, received some assistance from Community Energy Project and willing to call in and tell us about your experience, that'd be wonderful.
Okay, that's that call out for those who have benefited from this their project, give us a call at 503-231-8187 and give us your testimony about how this program has worked for you. Hey, Rock, thank you for the shout out to the people you work with. Tell us, maybe shifting just a little bit in terms of why are you excited about the work that you do about this project? Camille.
Cameo.
Oh, okay. What led you to work with this organization, and what excites you about the work you do?
I think one of the biggest things that excites me is that we get to go out into the community and not only help people that didn't know that those services are out there for them and really make an impact. I mean, I used to work in senior living, and I saw a lot of people lose their homes for a lot of reasons. And it's unfortunate, because if they had only known that these services were there, a lot of those seniors could have stayed in their homes. It's sometimes as simple as installing a few grab bars and putting a few hand railings here and there that allows them the mobility to stay in the home that they love. On top of that, I think it's fantastic when we get to have boothing events and give people the skills that, or at least teach people the skills that they didn't know that they were capable of, and seeing them do projects on their own confidently, safely, efficiently, knowing that we helped them do those things is kind of a fantastic place to be for me. And I think that's one of the reasons why I really enjoy working for the Community Energy Project. We really do get to delve deep into the community and help them out.
Excellent. Thank you. Rock, what excites you about the work you do?
Well, for me, it's a deep down passion. I was raised by my grandma. You know, she pretty much delegated me to, as a kid, to go out and work, you know, to save money for whatever school materials that I wanted, or, you know, clothes or whatever expensive shoes that I had asked her for. So, you know, she had a lot of friends and family members that needed, you know, their lawns trimmed and, you know, wood taken in the house. And so, you know, I was raised in a community-like setting. So just being here in Portland, it's just an opportunity to go out and, you know, serve with passion. Just take, you know, your opportunity and take your job seriously. And you see people in situations where they can't afford, or they just need a little bit of assistance, or perhaps just some guidance. You know, I love going into people's houses and, you know, talking to them and hearing the stories from the seniors. And, you know, it's just something I love to do. I mean, I pretty much look forward to, you know, doing this job in Portland for a long time. I mean, it's a blessing to go in people's houses and, you know, try to assist them some way, somehow, you know.
Yeah, excellent. Hey, you might have a question for Cameo and Rock about the Community Energy Project, and you might want to know more about the services that they provide. Give us a call here at 503-231-8187 and share your questions with them. Let's go to our next caller. Edie, good morning.
It is a good morning. I feel so much gratitude and celebration for this program. I'm delighted when I could help elderly people live in mobile homes or pretty trashy shacks, and I could get skills at the home fix-it fairs, etc., and I could deliver materials and train other folks on how to use them. And we put in vinyl and windows, we put foam around the doors, around the insulation, around the electric sockets and the pipes. Then not only did we use the materials that they trained us and provided for us for free, but that inspires with hope and creative problem solving to come up with other ways we could use other materials to solve problems. And I love how it shows a lot of these elderly disabled people with a lot of despair and loneliness, that there are solutions they had not expected, and that opens their heart and their mind to find other possibilities and other solutions. And they go from despair and bitterness to gratitude and trust and curiosity. Then they could have physical healings on mobility, of incontinence, of heart problems, of digestive problems, of forgiving family members. And so the ripple effect of good is much bigger than you think. I've seen it so many times over the last 25 or so years, and I just want to say thank you for your contributions.
Well, thank you for letting us know about the ripple effect, and I definitely would agree with you. I think it's kind of amazing once you just stick your toe in the water of helping others and you can see those actual ripples outline to the community and impact in ways that you didn't even imagine. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Edie, for sharing with us. If you like to know more about the Community Energy Project, you can also give them a call, and I'm going to ask you to repeat the number again.
Yes, the number is 503-284-6827. And you also can reach me at my email at roc@communityenergy.org.
Okay, roc@communityenergy.org. .org. Okay, excellent. We are speaking with Rock and Camille. Camille, I'm sorry, I'll get it correct before the end of the hour. From the Community Energy Project, a local project here in Portland that work for empowering people. I think it's their motto, empowering people one home at a time. And, you know, they do a lot of good work in the community and building community in so many, many ways. Camille, you suggested that you work not alone, but with community partners, and also are at fairs and where you share information. Who are some of the organizations or community project partners you work with or have worked with? Perhaps.
We've gone out into the community a lot of times for the Fix-It fairs. There's a lot of community fairs as well, like mm-hmm. the Lentz Fair and things like that, where we'll have booths. We actually recently were just up at OHSU for their sustainability fair.
Yes.
So there's quite a variety of fairs, as well as sometimes we'll even go on to college campuses to talk about volunteering with us, to talk about the resources available to the community. So there's definitely quite a variety. Just recently I went out, and I have actually coming up, I have an Albina affair that I'm going to be going to that is geared towards women and families. Previously, one that I went to was geared towards seniors and disabled. So there's a variety of events that are happening out in the community, and a lot of times you will definitely see one of our friendly faces there.
So look out, especially I imagine that, you know, as the weather gets better, you know, knock on wood, there's more community fairs, neighborhood festivals that people are part of, and look for their booth and go up to them and speak to them. Our number is here, 503-281-231-8187. And let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Cecil and your guests. How are you guys this morning?
I'm well.
Pretty
doing
good.
Wonderful.
Good. Hey, I got a couple of questions. Now, I'm a public person on the radio, but in my personal life, I'm private. And when you get signed up, when you have folks come over to look at your house and look at repairs, what kind of information do we have to give up? Do we have to give up income information, our social security number? What information do you need from us to get some of the projects to help?
Basically, you know, your full name, your address, your income, you know, what your disability, and, you know, we'll go forward with the intake. So we're not going to ask for your social security name or anything like that.
Okay. Now, do you have to be disabled, or that's just one of the things that some people are?
Yes, you have to be disabled. Or you can have someone that lives in your house that's disabled.
Gotcha. Or a senior as well. You can also be a senior and qualify.
So being 62 or 55 years old?
Yes, I would say that's considered a senior.
Okay. Thank you, folks. You're doing great work, and we appreciate you guys very much.
Oh, thank you for calling in.
Thank you, Robert, for calling. And let's go to our next caller. Ross, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Cecil and my new friends from the Community Energy Project. I guess you have been around for a while.
Quite some time.
And I wanted to, my experience has sort of told me that many people, especially elderly, who have problems with, you know, these fixer-up things and lack of investment in repairs, are vulnerable for displacement. And I wonder if you might comment on that. I've had some personal experience watching this happen, and been dismayed because there's so few people who come to rescue or are able to come to rescue people when the displacement comes along. Have you got any experience? What would you say about the vulnerability to displacement for the people that might ought to be coming to you for services, maybe? Or
I think that's one of the things that we definitely try and address when we do intakes, especially with senior populations. Oftentimes we have seniors who don't know that we have these services available to them. And that's one of those things that we want to let them know. We do a lot of those repairs that will allow them to stay in their homes and age in place. And we definitely find it unfortunate that they don't know that there are services available to them. It really does make a difference just being able to be mobile in your home. And we can help with those mobility issues. We can help with keeping them in their home and age in place and making them less vulnerable to being forced out or moved out from their homes that, you know, not only is just a house to them, it is their home. It's where they've lived their lives and they want to end their lives. And I think people should be entitled to that. I don't think things like misrepair and old age of a house should cause them to have to leave.
Right. I couldn't agree more. Then there's people coming along with fancy offers, and sometimes people have to reverse mortgages. They have mortgage payments, and can you help refer people to for assistance in those cases? Because
not
so many vultures that come in on people when they're in this kind of situation.
That's very true. Unfortunately, we can't help them with those particular issues, but our services are geared more towards actually helping the house itself, letting them know that
right.
They have these services. And in theory, then a lot of those tactics that, as you say, are the people who are willing to be the vultures on them, then they have the resources available to them that they can say, no, that's not true. Actually, I can get this fixed by going through the Community Energy Project.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much, and good luck with all your work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Our numbers here again are 503-231-8187, and to contact the Community Energy Project, 503-284-6827. Hello, Celeste.
Oh, you would send it right over to me. Let me catch that lob. So I've been listening on the way in, and thank you, Rock and Camille, for coming in. Before we go off the air, I want people to understand this is not a project that just works in North Portland, although that's where I encountered you two. But you are also in Lance, and I believe there's another place in East Portland.
Yes, correct. We're throughout the city of Portland.
Okay. But some areas are earmarked because they're part of urban renewal.
Correct.
Okay. So even though you are able to work outside of those urban renewal areas, do people get the same services?
No and yes. Each district has a different set of funds. Mm-hmm. So we must, you know, we have guidelines. You know, Southeast may get a certain budget and Northeast may get a different budget. So, you know, as we continue to get grants and get more funding, we'll be able to, you know, serve the community better.
So let me ask a question here. Two things that popped into mind when you talked about funding. One is, on a micro level, are the things that the community can contribute that will help your organization reach out to more people? Like hardware, insulating kits, of course, volunteer hours. Do they have to be certified? And how do they donate things?
So one of the best ways that we can use is volunteerism. We really could use volunteers, especially volunteer workshop leaders, people who want to teach these workshops as well. That's very, very helpful. We're always looking for people who want to learn the information inside and out and then provide it to the community on behalf of Community Energy Project. Mm-hmm. We also really love having volunteers come out and help us weatherize homes, do simple repairs. They don't need to be certified or anything like that. They'll actually go through a tutorial and we'll go over what we're going to do in these homes. They're not going to be major repairs, but they will definitely help allocate that work labor throughout the community. And for more in-depth home repairs, we do use contractors and things mm-hmm. like that, and we have our own tax for those. So for us, volunteers would be more along the lines of boothing and providing workshops and doing those more minor repairs so they don't have to go really in-depth. As far as other type of funding goes, we definitely have fundraising events that we more than welcome the public to come and attend. We just had our spring social, which was a fantastic event, which is our annual fundraiser. And those funds go into a Community Energy Project in a variety of ways, and we're able to utilize them.
Kind of like a general fund
exactly,
for the project.
And okay. We're able to utilize them in a variety of areas, and not only have more materials and things like that, but also make sure we have the staffing needed so we can mm-hmm. go out and provide those services. So we definitely make sure to utilize them to the best potential and work with small funds, yes, but like I said before, we might be small, but we're definitely mighty.
Okay, so community members, if you're listening, you can donate to them. And you are
501c3?
503-284-6827.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, too. But yes, we are perfect, a 501c.
Right. Well,
yes, perfect. And so you can donate. Now, what about hardware and supplies to get jobs done? Because I imagine you could use things like handrails, grip bars, working smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, any number of insulating kits.
Correct.
We do have a few grants that actually already cover a lot of those materials.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking
but
the
if
more
there was,
you get in.
Of course.
Free.
Yeah. Of course.
Okay, so people listening, that's another possibility you can donate. Now, the next question is a larger funding question. And you do have fundraisers, but what is the bulk of your income? What's the bulk of your revenue? Does it come from the City General Fund? Does it come from city housing funds? How is that allocated?
So the majority of it would be broken down into a couple grants that we receive. There's three big grants that we receive. Mm-hmm. And then general public funding is also a huge one as well. That's probably our fourth biggest source of income, is just getting it from the public.
Okay, as opposed from the city's general fund.
The three bigger ones are the city general fund and things like that,
okay,
as well. So those are our... Definitely, we wouldn't function without those, but the public does its fair share as well to
okay.
help.
So here's why I'm asking. There is the city's budget process, and we know that homelessness is on a rise throughout all demographics. And I imagine you are preventing a large amount of homeless seniors and senior-run families from leaving their houses. So I'm advocating people, all of our neighborhood and community activists, to go out and during the city's budgetary process advocate for these organizations, because it takes a multifaceted approach to prevent homelessness and to end homelessness. So, you know, getting homes is one thing, but living in place where you've been for a while is a whole nother thing. And so as I was coming in and I was listening to both of you discuss the beauty of aging in your home, that adds a certain richness to a community that people forget about. You know, people who have aged in their home more than likely have been in that neighborhood a long time. And so they're able to provide a certain kind of character and stability and richness to the community life. And so, you know, you want Ma and Pa and G-Pa and G-Ma and Auntie and Uncle and everybody to stay put and to be able to be a support to the community. So that's why I was asking about how your funds were allocated through the city, because that kind of helps people get a better idea. And then finally, I know that you are able to work in different places and you work with different partners. Are there volunteer groups in the city that you work for, like maybe Youth Builders or Oregon Tradeswomen, or what is it, the Rebuilding Center that has all that lovely accoutrement and ornamentation and necessary fixtures for the house?
Well, I'm very familiar with the Rebuilding Center, as we use items there all the time.
Good. Another one of my acquaintances is involved in that, and so that's, you know, I like to see all the community projects be able to knit together and work together.
So tell us again, for those who joined us only recently, some of the workshops and projects that people may participate in. What type of workshops do you offer?
So we offer workshops in weatherization. We offer workshops in lead poisoning and prevention and lead in home repairs. We also provide workshops in insulating flat attics. And then beyond the workshops and the scope of that, we also do in-home repairs for people as well.
And Rock, is that part of your portfolio in terms of in-home?
Yes, I'm the in-homes manager, and that's my specialty.
That's how I met him. He was out canvassing the neighborhood.
Yes, and she was so nice and providing information and pointing us in the right direction, and I'm very thankful we ran into her.
Yeah.
So, yes, you know, being the in-homes manager, you know, if you call in and, you know, you get through the intake, mm-hmm. I will be the guy that shows up at your house with a smile on my face, and you know, I will walk through your house, and you know, to the best of my abilities within our procedures, I'll provide some assistance for you.
Do you have to own your house?
Not necessarily, but
if
we would like.
If your Section 8 house does not really work, you know, out, could you manage something?
That when a client doesn't own their homes, you know, there's a liability process for us. Uh-huh. We don't want to go making changes to someone else's property. But, you know, if you need a grab bar in your shower, I'm sure, you know, we could talk to the landlord or the owner and come to an understanding that, you know, this is going to benefit this client. You know, this is a safety issue. So we definitely try to limit how we're going to make changes to someone else's property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And again, for those who are interested, to go to the website or give you a call at 503-284-6827. And Camille, you just mentioned you just had your annual big fundraiser, but I missed it. Can I also, you know, write a check?
You definitely can write a check. We take donations online. You can definitely call in as well. As far as additional fundraisers, we're definitely planning on doing more things in the future. We might even have something coming up in the fall, which I would love to see.
Make sure you call Kabu.
And let us know about it.
Yes.
Excellent. And again, are the workshops regularly scheduled, or are there anything coming up that people might be aware, need to, may want to participate either in workshops or whether you're going to be at some fair or something?
Well, as you mentioned, the Fix-It fairs, mm-hmm. and I used to booth them and presented them a lot. And I know they go for a while during the summer. But I also know there's organizations like the Lending Libraries for Tools and what have you, or you do trainings and workshops with them.
We have Boothian Affairs at a lot of those locations. If you want to know when particular workshops are coming up, we actually have a lot of those scheduled on our Google Calendar, which is located on our website as well. So you can actually kind of see what is coming up and what you're interested in.
And also, the two people that focus in that area, their names are Haley and Megan. So if you call our office and ask for Haley or Megan, they'll be able to assist you further.
And just go to the website, communityenergyproject.org, and I'm looking at your calendar right now, so excellent.
Okay, so now we need those email addresses again, and you have to spell your names so people listening can run to their ink pens and have remembered your names. So,
can I give a question online or over the air?
Oh, well, certainly.
Caller didn't leave his name, but wanted to know if you had any workers' compensation kind of coverage for your volunteers.
You know, that's a good question. I would suggest that the caller call their office and ask, because it could be that because their outreach, they don't handle that area of business. And having worked for nonprofits and for local government, I can tell you, you know, some things are departmentalized. That's a very good question. Generally, when you volunteer for events, like I volunteer for solve cleanups and such, you sign a waiver. And your particular insurance covers you. It's considered a community event. But I would call the phone number. And so that's a good segue into the phone number, Rock.
503-284-6827.
And your email address?
My email address is rockroc@communityenergyproject.org.
And yours?
It's Cameo, C-A-M-E-O, @communityenergyproject.org.
Okay, great.
And if you're interested, I noticed a couple of workshops that are coming up this week. You have a lead poisoning prevention workshop, which takes place on Wednesday at your office?
Yes, if that's what the website says. Haley and Megan are the people that handle that that side, so they're the experts.
Okay, and give us your physical address. Can people come in if they have a question?
Yes, if you want to come in for a few minutes and talk with one of us, the physical address is 2900 Southeast Stark Street.
Suite A.
Suite A, not B, A.
Like that the A train.
And on Saturday, you have a Let's Save Home Project workshop that takes place at the Northeast Portland 2 Library at 1 p.m. So those are the two workshops that you might want to participate in coming up. We only have a couple of more minutes. Give us your 30-second elevator speech about your project.
Well, my 30-second speech would be, it's a blessing to, serve the community, go out and do your due diligence and, try to provide services to the community. For those who have not met me or for those that's going to call in and go through the intake and, ask for some assistance, I will do my best to, help you. Or if I can't, I'll be more than happy to provide you information on other clients that will be able to help you at some point. So I'd like to thank you guys for having me on radio, and I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the work you do. And then you, Cameo?
My elevator pitch would be that we're really grateful and appreciative of being able to serve the Portland community. And the work that the Community Energy Project does is invaluable. So definitely, if any of this moves you, please do donate either your time, resources. All of those are appreciated. Nonprofits definitely always can use funding in a variety of sources. And being able to have people who have give back is always great to those who do not have. And I would also love to say that thank you very much for having us. We greatly appreciate it.
And we thank you for the work you do as well.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Cameo and Rock from the Community Energy Project. And their numbers again are 503-284-6827. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been More Talk Radio with Cecil Prescott, myself, Celeste Carey. We thank you for tuning in. And do get involved with your community. You help make us strong and keep people able to live in home. Coming up, 9 o'clock at the Old Mole Variety Hour, from asylum to prison, deinstitutionalization, that's a mouthful, and the rise of mass incarceration after 1945, a discussion of the 1996 film, The Watermelon Woman, and more. 10 o'clock with Barbara Bernstein, talks to two leaders with the campaign to put the Portland Clean Energy Fund on the ballot in November. 11 o'clock, Health Watch, Dr. You, introducing the hard science of self-healing. 11:30, Making Contact looks at the cost of deportation of the tens of thousands of Guatemalans sent back to their country every year. And thank you again, KBOO members, for your support. You keep everybody informed. You keep everybody involved when you do your part and you support KBOO.FM and beyond.
Coming this June to the Monday Sampler.
Space Patrol!
Starting June 11th and continuing right through summer.
High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol.
Yes, the late-night radio show that comes on in the afternoon. The Monday Sampler will present Space Patrol.
Abby, can you hear me? Pull away from it.
I'm trying to, sir, but the rockets don't seem to have any effect.
Use full power on your starboard rocket.
I am, sir, but we're caught in some sort of a whirlpool.
Have hit full repeller ray. If you're caught in there, you're finished.
Tune in June 11th for our first exciting adventure.
Space Patrol story, The Hole in Empty Space.
And if you missed the broadcast, you can always go to KBOO.FM to the audio archive. That's all right here on your community radio.